It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
All right, man. Woo, I'm pumped for this one. Thank you for being with us on another audio adventure with the Chris Van Vliet Show. You saw the title. You know who my guest is. And you clicked on it. And I can tell you with great confidence that this is the world's most dangerous interview. Ken Shamrock is in the house. Ken Shamrock is back in wrestling. There's so much good stuff here as we go over his career from when he started until now. And yeah, now he is back in an Impact Wrestling ring. If you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed yet, please grab your phone. Maybe you're holding it. Maybe it's in your pocket, but just grab it. Go in there, click subscribe. You'd be doing me a massive favor. And if you have an extra like 4 seconds, please, while you're in there, just at least click on the 5 stars in Apple Podcasts. If you're feeling extra generous, you can leave a review, but the 5 stars really helps. We're only 2 months old, and this really helps, you know, get the word out there. But with only being 2 months old, we're already charting as one of the most popular wrestling podcasts in the world. So a huge thank you to you for being part of this. It's amazing. And I'm going to keep reading one review on the show to shout you out, to say thank you, you know, to say, let's keep doing this. Let's make this bigger. Antoine316 from the Bullet Cast writes, his interviews are never not entertaining, and he does a great job getting the talent to open up. Much love, CVV. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, much love to you, Antoine316. And I know you're going to keep doing what you're doing. We also couldn't do this without our sponsor, Green Roads. A huge thank you. They've been with us since day one, an OG sponsor. And if you've been thinking of trying CBD products, well, you should think about trying Green Roads because they're the way to go. Because not all Green Roads or not all CBD products are created equal. There's a lot of companies that have popped up out of nowhere going, oh, we have the best CBD products. I don't know why they talk like that, but in this example, they do. Green Roads, though, is a pharmacist-founded company dedicated to improving the lives of people who are taking it. I take it. Like yesterday, I woke up and I had this giant pain in my neck, like a literal pain in my neck. And I took Green Roads as I normally do and just kind of subsided. It helps with that. It helps with focus. The gummies are great. All around, Green Roads is pretty awesome. And I think you should enjoy the awesomeness with me. Use my code Chris15 to get 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. That's Chris15 for 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. Also, listen to how good we sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because of Samson Technologies and the mics and cables that we use for these interviews. And a lot of people ask me, hey, what kind of audio equipment should I use as I'm starting out my podcast, starting out my YouTube channel? Well, the great thing about Samson Technologies is their stuff is obviously great quality. I mean, listen to it, but also very affordable. So go to samsontech.com and you can check out their full lineup and you can sound this good. So I don't know. Why did I go down like, oh, yeah, it sounded this good, like a strip club announcer. When you think of the career of Ken Shamrock, of course, we first saw him in UFC in 1993, UFC 1, which is crazy. You want to talk about an OG. He had those epic battles with Hoist Gracie later in his career with Tito Ortiz. But in terms of pro wrestling, he came into the WWF right on the cusp of the Attitude Era, 1997. I mean, Bret Hart was still around at that time. Shamrock had massive potential. It seems like he was on the verge of getting a huge push that just kind of stopped. And then out of nowhere, he just went back into MMA. So we get down to the bottom of what actually happened there. We also talk about the other big moment that everyone seems to talk about with Ken Shamrock. Yeah, he's known for that vicious, vicious chair shot to the face from The Rock. Man. Oh, yeah. It's a great story. He's been away from pro wrestling now for 15 years, but at age 55, he's back in Impact Wrestling, where he was the first ever TNA champion. Also, I know you're listening to this interview, but you've got to check it out on YouTube just to see the intro at least. Ken Shamrock put me in the ankle lock. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. Yeah, Ken Shamrock put me in the ankle lock. And everyone's like, oh man, great selling, Chris. And I'm like, Yeah, selling. Yeah, that's that. That was those screams were acting screams. Here you go. It's the world's most dangerous interview with the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. All right. Well, it's an honor to be sitting in an Impact ring with you right now. Thank you for making this happen.
Dude, I feel so comfortable in the ring. I feel like I want to slam somebody.
Well, maybe not me, or maybe at least not till later. Right. We'll at least get the interview done first. Yeah. It's been 15 years, and now you're back in Impact. Take me along this path. You know, why did it take 15 years to come back?
I tell you, especially after I kind of slowed down with the MMA world, I took a year off because I felt my body was sore. I had all these injuries I was trying to recover from. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. So I took a year. I didn't say I was going to take a year. I just stopped, right? I stopped training. I stopped everything. I just wanted to just enjoy life, enjoy family. So it was about a year. And then I just decided one day, I was like, man, you know what? I'm tired of just being Mr. Mom, you know, hanging around at the house and, you know, cooking dinner and doing barbecues and, you know, just that home life thing. And it was great for a while. But then I started feeling healthy again. I just started feeling like, wow, I don't know, I just feel good again. And so I said, you know, I'm going to go back to the gym. Just, you know, go there during the day because I'm not doing anything. And I'll go hit the gym and kill some time that way. And so I started working out, and, you know, probably I would say three months in. I started feeling good again. I
mean, sure.
I look in the mirror. I go, wow, man.
You look great.
I look great, you know. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll start looking for some gigs in pro wrestling. You know, that's something I think I want to go after. It's something I hadn't really had finished what I had actually started to do, which was capture the WWF title, which, you know, I mean, I may not be able to do that, but, boy, I can sure make an impact in no pun intended, in pro wrestling.
Sure.
And so I decided to, you know, start reaching out to different organizations and start checking out to see whether or not there was an opportunity for me to wrestle again. And then BCW over in Australia picked me up, and I did a show, one show, and we weren't planning on doing any more than that. I went over, I did one show. And I remember after I did that one show, I was like, wow, I feel a lot better than I've felt in a long time.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I might want to do this again. So I remember talking to Matthew, who is the guy that owns BCW, and said, hey, you know, since things went so well this time, I said, I'd like to be able to maybe come back and do a few more shows just to see whether or not I want to get back into pro wrestling again. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, me and you'll work something out, and, you know, I'll come over here maybe for a 4 or 5 match deal, and then that way I can kind of see where I'm at. And he says, yeah, I would love to help you out, you know. And he did. He helped me out to be able to get in the ring and be able to have those 4 or 5 matches. And once I was into about the third match, the third time over there,
sure,
I think people started to see around the world that I was back, because I got a call from Germany. They wanted to bring me down there. So I went down and did a match down there. And so now I'm sitting here in the Impact ring because of the opportunity I got at BCW. And was able to show the talents that I had. I'm sitting here in Impact Wrestling, ready to do a program for them. So that thought I had one day to go start working out, taking that year off, really got me to this point.
And you look like you're in incredible shape, the best shape we've seen you in years.
Yeah, and that all had to do with taking that year off, because I had never taken any time off from the time I started my professional career back in 89, 90. I'd never really taken any time off up until, you know, 2017? Yeah, 2017, where I basically had taken a year off. So I think that was a really important part of me being able to be where I'm at today, was just letting my body heal up and feel comfortable again.
So is this, you know, right now we're obviously in Las Vegas here, Sam's Town Casino. You're doing 2 dates here. Is this the only 2 dates you're doing with Impact, or are you continuing on for a little while?
Well, you know, right now I think the one thing in front of me is, you know, obviously Moose, being able to take care of business with that. Then I think after we do that, we'll take a look and see whether or not there's more for us to do here at Impact. I like what I see so far.
Sure.
The way I've been treated has been awesome. So, I'm definitely interested in maybe looking at something a little bit deeper. But like I said, we have to see where everything kind of lands after these first two shows.
Well, I think the interest is there for Ken Shamrock because you were away from pro wrestling for so long. If you had been working indie dates ever since you left WWE, they'd go, yeah, we've seen it. We don't need you now.
It's true. I think that, you know, it's and maybe this is a message for a lot of guys that are into pro wrestling, is that it's okay to take time off. It's okay to let your body heal up and rest. Take a year off. Be away from it. But in the same sense, not only are you taking time off to let your body heal up, but you're also taking time off for the fans to kind of miss you.
Sure.
So when you do come back, it's like, oh, you get a welcome back because they're like, we haven't seen him in the ring for a while. And so you get more of a warm embrace as opposed to trying to force the issue to keep wrestling.
Yeah. And what an exciting time for you to make your return. 2019 has been an amazing time to be a pro wrestling fan. An amazing time, I'm sure, to be a pro wrestler with everything that's going on with AEW, kind of raising the bar for WWE. Impact has one of its best rosters perhaps ever. A great time for you to be back.
I don't know. Maybe I'm blessed, man, but it seems like my timing has been just perfect for a lot of things. Started out when over in Japan where Pancras first started. I was the first King of Pancras.
Yeah.
UFC first started.
Mm-hmm.
I was
the first super
fight champion. Yep. The first guy to cross over into the WWF, where WWF was, and WWE today was struggling to compete with WCW. They brought in the Attitude Era off of my back to try to change that direction of WCW killing them on those wars. And then here, it just seems like my timing, I have been blessed on timing.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked a lot in other interviews how you've reached out to WWE and got no response, and you think you have some unfinished business there. What's your relationship with them now?
I don't know if it is a relationship. You know, I mean, I know I was there, mm-hmm. and I know that I was able to be a part of something special. But I just don't know if there was ever a relationship, you know, because even after I left, it almost felt like I was this the black sheep, where like once I left, it was never mentioned again, you know, and no credit given, no highlights or anything ever shown. Nobody speaks of it. You know, it's almost like it was it's just weird. It's just gone.
Which is strange because you paved the way for guys like Brock Lesnar.
Kurt Angle,
Ronda Rousey now.
Right.
Yeah, so I feel like they'd be remiss to not recognize what you've done.
Yeah, but they don't, you know. I mean, it's a shame. Even when they did this Raw reunion and these other reunions that they were doing, it's like, why wouldn't I have been there? I mean, I don't understand that, so... I don't know who I pissed off, and you know, or what kind of bridges were blown up, but I thought I did everything on a very professional level.
Do you have any idea who it is you might have bad blood with or some heat with?
I don't, man. I mean, I know that, you know, there were a lot of business decisions that were made that probably didn't make some people happy, but it was business. It was nothing personal.
Sure. I mean, Jim Ross talked about in his podcast recently how you'd missed some dates in some towns, and then that you were going to be a megastar, but some things kind of fell apart and it never happened for you.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, it's not like the first time that wrestlers miss dates. I mean, Shawn Michaels did, Bret Hart did. I mean, you go on, and some of the things that happen, and guys just miss flights, some of it due to weather or cancellation or just being late. It happens, right?
Sure.
So, and it wasn't like I missed 20 in a row. I mean, maybe it's two or three.
Yeah, and JR talked about two. Yeah.
Yeah, at most in a 2.5 year period. So, you know, there's no way that's the reason. So, I can only speculate. I think there's, you know, several different reasons why that could have happened, but they're just speculations because no one's really ever said, hey, you know, this is what we thought, this is what we did. So I have no clue.
Do you agree with JR that you had the makings of being a megastar? Was there ever talk of you winning a Royal Rumble or something to line you up for a title shot?
Well, I did win King of the Ring, you know.
That's right.
And
yeah,
I
King
beat
The
Rock
yeah.
there, and mm-hmm. I thought that was the direction we were going to go. And, I really thought that, you know, The Rock, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, myself, I really thought that was a direction that we were going to be able to have kind of that four-way, you know, title connection where it would just keep shifting hands, and then there'd be alignments here and there. And so I really thought that's where it was going. And then I kind of got left out of that four. I was the fourth one, and so the three did go ahead, and I just kind of got left out. So,
Do you feel like there were other plans that could have happened had you not left to go to MMA? To go back to MMA?
Well, the feeling and the things that were happening to me during that time, and the reason why I went back was because I wasn't going that direction. You know, I know that they wanted to do a storyline where Ryan, who played my sister, wanted me to be in love with her. And I said, where's that? That's not anywhere where we're going. The world's most dangerous man. I mean,
an incest angle.
I'm like, that just don't feel right. And so in my mind, with everything that was going on around that, with the Bret Hart thing and all the other things that were happening around that, it just felt to me like they were trying to ruin the world's most dangerous man. They were trying to kill my character, which I've heard they've done in the past with different people, because that was their character they created, and before they left, they wanted to make sure they weren't on the up, they were on the down.
Sure.
So I took a stand against that, to not let that happen.
You were one of the rare guys during that era who got to keep their own name. Like, when you first came in, was there any discussion of giving you another name?
No. I mean, I think Vince had it in his head that the world's most dangerous man, coming from this background, that's what he was going to build Stone Cold and Bret Hart and his organization on, the Attitude Era.
Yeah, because there's a lot of guys that come in and they go, all right, Ken Shamrock, we understand who you were from UFC, but we could make you something else.
Or in a sense where I think you could also argue that by just bringing me in and having me work with guys like Stone Cold or Bret Hart or The Rock or other guys, being the character I was coming from that background, would also make those other wrestlers that as well.
That's true. Did they want to do this angle with Ryan because you guys were dating in real life at the time and they saw a spark there?
No, I mean, like I don't know the thought process on that, but I had three kids at home that were 5, 8, and 10, and them going to school, they don't know the real or not real on that. And
sure,
I had to make a decision for my family that I was not going to do that, because my kids would have been hammered at school for that.
You mentioned The Rock a few times. He said some really nice things about you on Twitter recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had like, it was almost like a year-long program with him that you guys did.
We did. I tell you, well, Rock came out of The Nation, and I felt that The Nation was really holding him back. And once he broke off of that and he started cutting promos with the mic,
right,
and me and him started doing work together, I literally saw myself and his character just rise up. And we had matches that rivaled all the top stars in the WWF at the time.
It's funny because I interviewed Rock recently and I said, you know, you've cut so many great promos, what's your favorite promo of all time? And it's actually kind of something you're keying in on here. He said it was one of his favorites was the crowd was chanting Rocky sucks. And he said, The Rock's a lot of things, but sucks ain't one of them. And that led right into the type of program that you guys had.
Yes, it was awesome because I was neither a babyface or a heel.
Yeah.
And The Rock really hadn't established himself as either one, really. I mean, he kind of flipped back and forth. And I just didn't care. Like, it didn't matter whether the fans loved me or didn't love me. I loved them. Mm-hmm. But when I got in the ring, I was going to do what I was going to do. And so it just worked out that way, that I was kind of, at that moment, I was the fan favorite. But just as we started working together, it was almost like they didn't know who to cheer for, because they loved The Rock and they loved me. And it was just seemed like as we were starting to put those programs together and grow together, that's where we really became superstars.
And no matter how many great matches you have with The Rock, you know that everybody's memory comes down to that one moment where The Rock bashed you in the face with the chair. Walk me through that entire moment. How did that all go down?
We were in the back. And we were going through some spots, and then we were going to do the chair shot. And I didn't like chair shots. I felt like, man, the back was fine, but then they were hitching the top of the head or the back of the head. And I was like, I looked at Rock and I said, hey, man, we do that chair shot, man. Just hit me in the face.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me and he goes, I'm not hitting you in the face. And I go, dude, hit me in the face. I'll take care of the rest. He goes, man, I'm not hitting you in the face, man. And I was like, dude, I'm serious. He looked at me and he said, man, you're ribbing me. I said, no, I'm serious. Hit me in the face. And if you don't swing it, I won't sell it.
A little pause from the world's most dangerous interview to thank our sponsors, Indochino. Every guy looks better. They feel more confident when you put on a suit. This is a fact of life. There's only one problem, though. Guys keep buying these generic, ugly, off-the-rack suits. That's why Blue Wire, my podcast network, is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new made-to-measure suit. Indochino is the world leader on made-to-measure menswear. They make shirts and suits to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. I know a lot of you guys will wear your suit once a year at a wedding or at your wedding. And if you're doing that, they have tons of options for looking great for the wedding party. It's so easy to get started. Just visit a stylist at any of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America, and you can have them take your measurements personally. If you don't feel like leaving your house, that's okay. You can measure yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. And this week, listeners of the CVV show, that's me, can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com. You just have to enter the code BLUEWIRE at checkout. Plus, shipping's free. So that's Indochino.com. The promo code is BLUEWIRE, and you'll get any premium suit for just $369 with free shipping. This is a very incredible deal. Made-to-measure suits usually cost much, much more. And trust me, once you go custom, you do not go back. Also, big thank you to MyBookie. I mean, if you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you just keep walking? Yes, of course you'd pick it up. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? This is why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, they pay you when you win, and let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet on my Brownies. Big Cleveland Browns fan. And also bet with MyBookie. And also, did you know you can make a bet after kickoff? And also, like if you're betting on one team and then in the second half, the team that you're betting on is losing really bad, it's okay. You can just take the other side. And if you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little bit and win a lot, well, you can bet with a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, you know this. NFL season is the best time of the year to do it. So join now. MyBookie's going to double your first deposit. Just use the promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. That's Blue Wire, named after our podcast network. It's on the picture on your screen there right now in the bottom. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there. See it? Yeah. Visit mybookie.ag today to sign up. You play, you win, you get paid.
He looked at me and goes, whoa, I'll swing it. And I said, okay. So we get in there, and he looked at me and goes, you sure? And I said, dude, trust me. He goes, all right. So we get in there, we get to that spot, and he looks at me, and I remember looking up to him and going, you better swing it.
That's what you were saying in that moment?
Yeah, I was like, you better swing it.
Oh, man.
And he looked at me and goes, oh, I will.
did you have any sort of injury after that?
No, it was a lot easier for me to take that to the forehead because it didn't hit me directly in the face. So when he swung it, all I did was just tip my chin down and I took it right in the forehead. And if you know anything about how your body is, your forehead is the thickest bone in your head. So instead of taking it to the top of the head or anywhere else, that was the place I knew when I took it that I wouldn't get a concussion. And so when he swung it, because I didn't want to take something that I would embarrass myself. Somebody eases up on it. And I knew by hitting me in the forehead, I knew he could swing it. And I would be okay. And so when he hit me with the chair, whack! And I literally, as I go back, I was like, dude, I hardly even felt it. I mean, that's no lie. I'm not lying. God is my witness. He swung that and he hit at me with it. And I literally went, well, that was a lot better than I thought as I was rolling backwards. And I hit the ground. I was like, thank God I'm alive.
Usually you get hit with like the seat part. That felt, I felt like you got hit with like the top part of the chair.
It was both, because I think when he hit me, the actual seat caved in, and then the top part slid down onto my head.
Well, that's exactly what we saw at AEW, at Double or Nothing. When Cody took that chair shot, same thing happened, but we obviously saw that it didn't go as well for him.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, too, it's it's the way you're taking it, the timing on it. It's got to be perfect because it can turn out wrong. But like I said, I would rather see it coming than not coming.
So what do you think of when you see a chair shot like that in 2019, the one that Sean Spears did to Cody Rhodes? And then we look back at, in your heyday, those were happening almost every week on Raw.
I love it. I like to see those things happen. And a lot of people get angry when people copy other people. And I'm like, dude, this is the world we live in. Mm. People do things and they do it better. It's like when Kurt Angle jumped in the ankle lock. Everybody's like, dude, aren't you mad? I was like, why would I be mad? The guy took my move. I mean, he's actually still using my move. That's flattery. The guy is taking something that I brought in first and he's using it. Why would I be mad about that?
Did he ask permission to use it?
No, he just used it. But it didn't matter to me because, I think to myself, how many moves in the pro wrestling ring did somebody do first and somebody else is using it?
All of them. Sure, yeah. I guess, but that was your trademark move. I know the first time I saw Kurt Angle doing it, I went, that's Ken Shamrock's move.
But it doesn't matter. I think what bothers me more than anything is when they actually put up all these different submission holds, the best submission holds, and they use Kurt Angle's picture in the angle lock, and he doesn't do it right. When I tell people, I said, when someone does your move, and they usually, because like even in fighting, when you train somebody, your ceiling should be their floor. They should get better. In Kurt Angle's case, he does not do it better. It won't work for real. So I need to teach him how to do that right so that when he puts it on, I could be a little more proud of that.
You should have an ankle lock match with him.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. I'll let him put it in. The way he does it, I'd let him get me in it.
He's worked in Impact for many, many years. Yes. Now that you're in Impact, this is something that could maybe happen.
Dude, that's a dream match for me. It really is.
It's a dream match for everybody.
Yeah, I respect Kurt. I mean, if you know Kurt's history, man, that guy was a stud. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really was a stud mentally, physically. I mean, he was just one of those kind of guys that I could get behind. So having a match with him would be an honor.
What about a match with Brock?
Oh, another guy, man. I mean, you think about what he was able to do. I know he's kind of followed in my footsteps a little bit, only because I did it first, right?
Sure.
But he's a beast, man. And he's a guy that I would enjoy wrestling also because you look at him, man, and you're just like, dude, this dude is a megastar. So for me to share the ring with him would be absolute honor.
I think that, it's important to point out that you've had an incredibly successful career in MMA, an incredibly successful career in wrestling, but you're also an entrepreneur now. You've got your hand in so many different pies. Tell me a little bit about some of the stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, like I said, when I got out of wrestling and got out of fighting, the one thing I wanted to make sure was that I needed to use all of my body, like, my physical aspects and my mental aspects. And so as I was fighting and as I was wrestling, I was also learning outside of what it is to put on shows or to produce things and how different storylines work. And so I always studied everything going on around me.
Sure.
Because I knew there would be an opportunity for me after I had to kind of done everything I needed to do and be able to step aside and go, okay, I'm going to use the celebrity status and the things that I created over the years and be able to use that as a leverage to go out and start using different types of businesses outside the ring. So I got involved with different things in the stock market. I got involved with things with business and leveraging my name to be able to help other startup businesses because they'll spend anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 in marketing, right? So I can go to those different businesses and go, hey, let me do your marketing for you. I'll do all radio spots, TV spots. I'll go around and do different commercials and stuff like that, and I'll cut your costs in half. All I want is equity. You don't have to pay anything up front, but what we make off of this company, I get a percentage. So I become a business owner.
That's a big gamble, though, because if that business isn't profitable, you've just put your time and effort into nothing.
See, and there's the key right there is this. You have to make sure that the ones that you're looking at and you vet them, you got to make sure they have a solid foundation with the people that are working there.
Sure.
And so you have a better opportunity of being successful. But nevertheless, it still costs you nothing to try that. So I've gotten involved in three different types of businesses, making money with each one of those things just by leveraging my name for the marketing aspects of it and getting equity ownership in return. Also, right now, we're getting involved with actually the promoting part of it. You know, I did a lot inside the ring, still doing stuff inside the ring. But now I'm actually testing my skills outside the ring, whereas I'm going into the promoting, where I'm doing a Valor.
I'm wearing the shirt for it right
That's
now.
That's right. There it is. Yeah. Valor BK, bare knuckle fighting. We see an opportunity there. We, again, doing our homework, studying, being able to look at the different things trending outside in the social media areas. Got to see these fights, street fights happening, and all of a sudden they're getting a million or so views with these guys fighting in the backyard.
Yeah.
So we started looking at it going, okay, well, that looks like that's interesting there. And then we started seeing these other bare-knuckle organizations coming up, and their numbers were getting better than some of the MMA fights. So we realized at that time going, okay, well, now's the time to go back and do something I fell in love with back in the beginning when I started doing the holds barred fighting myself.
Right.
And then it kind of went away, and that was what I really loved the most, was that purity and that mano-a-mano, God-given talent. When you step in the ring, bare-knuckle, you against the other guy. And so I was just like, you know what? I want to bring that back. And so I started doing Valor Bare-Knuckle September 21st at Four Bears Casino in Newtown, North Dakota. We're doing our very first event. And up to this point, we haven't even done a show yet, but with all the experience that I have learned through pro wrestling and my fighting, being able to understand how you move forward in that by creating opportunity for people to raise awareness for your event and ticket sales.
Yeah.
I use the knowledge that I have now to be able to go out there and make all those advertisements. Right now, we haven't done an event, and we're trending one right now in the bare knuckle space. We haven't even done a fight yet because of the knowledge and the ability that I have of knowing how all this stuff works and how you're supposed to get to that point to raise awareness that you're doing a show.
So you got to help me out here. Is this in a ring or is this in a cage?
Well, it's very unique. It's neither.
Okay.
So we are going to be doing it. It's going to be and I think we're going to wait until the day of the event so people can actually see it.
Okay.
But it's a pit. And it has no ropes and it has no fences. So on that day, people will get to see what these guys are fighting in. It'll be an experience that you have never experienced before in watching a fight with no visual impediment.
Now, if you're part of this from the outside, kind of organizing this, once you get there on September 21st, aren't you going to go, I want to be in there?
Of course. I mean, the itch is always going to be there. But also the reality of it is I also know where I'm at.
And you said Gracie's the only person you would fight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Up for the low blow fight.
You're right. Yeah, I don't know how they didn't. I don't know how that one even.
It's funny because when you watch it back, the ref is in the way as it's happening, but you can clearly see on your face what's happened.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to fight it, you know, but
your balls are in your stomach.
Yeah. When you start losing your breath and yeah, you're trying to cough them back down again. Yeah, it's hard to keep continuing.
Do you think he would fight you one more time?
No, he won't. No,
because he knows you'd win.
Yes, that's why he need me. There's no question. There's no way that was an accident. He did that on purpose. It was his way out of that fight.
Wow. Well, yeah. Someone who's precision striker like he is, like you are, he knows where he's striking.
Yeah. He knew he was in trouble. And every fighter will tell you the same thing because they understand when someone does something like that in a clinch, and they're that professional. Mm. They know something like that was done intentionally because the guy knows he's going to lose.
Mm. Who was your toughest opponent in MMA and in pro wrestling?
Well, MMA, you can't. It's really difficult to say that because they all come from, like Gracie. I mean, he's just a different kind of guy. He's not strong. He's not dangerous, but he can beat you.
Sure.
Right? He's very good at that. But you don't fear him, right?
Yeah.
Guys like Mark Coleman or Dan Severn or guys that were big beasts in wrestling, I mean, they can hurt you, right? So guys like that, you know, you kind of like they're just a little bit different thought. But you can't really put on which one is harder because they're all different.
What about Tito Ortiz?
Yeah, he's another one. Like, you know, he comes in there and he's kind of a wrestler. He does elbows and, you know, he's very, very aggressive on the ground.
Sure.
But it's like, for me, it was just a different style. I never thought in a fighter in that sense of being afraid of anyone, right? But it was more of a challenge of different styles of what I had to look for or watch out for.
What about in pro wrestling? Who was at your level? Because you had an insane amount of intensity. Yeah.
I would say not at my level as far as intensity, but I would have to say as far as charisma, athletic ability, the whole nine yards, I would have to say between I know The Rock for sure, no question.
Sure.
And then, yeah, I would say The Rock. Yeah, they, like I said, I got to wrestle all the top stars, so they were all like kind of different too. But I think Rock was more of that guy that really matched well with me. We were able to do a lot of stuff together. Very athletic, very strong.
Yeah.
And I was athletic, very strong, charismatic. So it was a great match.
Would you say that the bigger reason you left WWE or WWF at the time to go back to MMA, was it the dates? You were working 3, 4, 5 days a week versus 2, 3 fights a year. Was that the main reason? Or did you have unfinished business?
Yeah, I think that the reason why when I left the WWF was because it was just a lot of time on the road. And I just didn't feel like the time I was putting in to the WWF that we were going in the direction that I thought we were going to go. Yeah.
So, and with your character specifically.
Yeah, yeah. The things that they were asking me to do as opposed to what we were doing, you know, the first year in. And I thought we were rising where we were supposed to be going. I thought I did what I needed to do. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden there was just a stop in the direction we were going, and then all of a sudden we were going in a direction I didn't understand. So on top of me being gone all the time, missing kids, dances and games and wrestling matches and birthdays, that gets depressing. But so to add to it, then all of a sudden I was not being pushed anymore, at least to my knowledge.
You've overcome so much in your life, like from, being bounced around different houses growing up to breaking your neck in high school. What's pushed you through this to make you not only get past it, but then be incredibly successful?
I think it's not dwelling on it. I mean, for me, after it happened, I remember my father said to me in the hospital as I was laying, he wasn't my father then, he was a group home owner. When I laid there and I was, in this bed where they clamped you together and they flipped me to go to the bath, they flipped me over to watch TV, at a mirror under the bed where they flipped me over so I could watch TV when I was on my stomach. And I remember just when he said to me, he goes, because they told me I could never play contact sports again, and
you had a broken neck, you had a halo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I hadn't really sunk in until I was told that. And then I thought to myself, what did I do wrong? Because everything that drove me and everything that got me to that point was because I was good at something. I was relevant all of a sudden. I wasn't just punk kid that was in juvenile hall and I was going to be dead someday and no one really cared, to me being a good athlete, teachers wanted to help me get good grades and coaches caring about me because I was good at something. And now I was relevant. And now all of a sudden that was just being taken away in one instant. I literally took 3 years, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior, to where all of a sudden my world felt good, and then I broke my neck. Then all of a sudden, it was gone. It was it. And I was being told that you can't do those things that made you relevant. And I was so depressed. I remember my father said to me, he goes, you can lay there and pout, or you can get up and do something about it.
Wow.
He said, because no one's going to do anything. Nobody can do it. I can't do it for you. Mm-hmm. Your friends are not going to do it for you. You're the only one that can change the outcome of what's going to happen from this point on. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that's right. But I took it different than what he meant. I took it more like, this doctor can't tell me I can't do that. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know what I'm willing to do to get to where I want to go. He has no idea how hard I will work to get something, my dedication. So I remember getting up. I'm not getting up at that moment.
Sure.
But I remember after hearing that, and my thought process completely changed. I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. So I remember after I got out of the hospital, man, I started training and working out. A year and a half later, after being told that, I was playing linebacker at Shasta College.
Wow.
Playing football because I was able to train. I put on 20 pounds. I put muscle on around the injured area, and I was playing football. I mean, I had to get a release from the doctor. I had to get a release from the college.
Sure.
Saying that it would be no, this letter of no, nobody's responsible. I'm doing this on my own.
Yeah, because you could die.
Yeah, right. So, and I went and did it, man. And I was an All-American. So So it just, to me, it was like, I just don't, my mind doesn't think about the things I can't do. My mind only thinks about the things I can do.
Are there things now at 55, you're getting back into the ring for the first time in many, many years. Do you look at this now and go, there's things I can't do now?
No. I look at things that I can do.
Okay.
And I do them.
Yeah.
Right. So if somebody says, hey, you know, I want you to do a backflip off the top rope, I was like, what? I don't do that. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
Right? But, hey, if you want me to do a suicide dive over the top rope, I can do that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I just did it over in BCW. So, I could do a – I just did a match with Severn over in BCW. I did a 40-minute on Broadway. We had a good match, a worked shoot match. And we went through that. It wasn't – after we were done, I wasn't tired. So – I don't think, like I said, to me, there's nothing I can't accomplish if it's something that I enjoy doing.
So if this goes really well here in Impact, how much longer can you wrestle for?
That's the thing I don't think about. I think about now. I think about today. I think about what I'm going to do tonight.
Yeah.
So I focus on now, and I focus on things that I can control.
That rings true. I interviewed John Cena recently, and he said, control the controllable.
Yeah,
and that sounds like the same thing you're saying here.
Yeah.
Instead of looking ahead, can I still wrestle in a year or 5 or 10?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but what I do care about is now.
Yeah. That's something that I think everyone can take with them. If there's somebody watching this that is looking to break into pro wrestling, what kind of advice do you have for them?
I would say get an education, make sure you have a good job, and then practice your wrestling on the side. Because... I say this in the fight world too, is that nothing's guaranteed. You could be the greatest athlete in the world, but injuries happen. Mm. You can be in there practicing and getting ready to start your career and blow your knee out and blow it out enough to where you're not the same. Or you could be really great at wrestling and you never get the opportunity. I mean, those things happen. So I always say, you know what, man, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I know it's a cliche, but it's so true. Make sure you have options.
I got to say, it's such an honor to be able to sit here with you and kind of just sit here at the learning tree and just, you know, learn from you. And I'm so excited to see you back in the ring. And congrats on everything you're doing inside and outside of the wrestling world.
I appreciate that, man. And I'm excited for, you know, obviously tonight. I'm going to get to be able to, you know, because like I think Moose has just been running all over the place. So I think tonight's the night.
And
so,
running his mouth a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know, he seems to be really good at that. But we'll see what happens. You know, like I said, I'm excited for tonight. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he'll come in with some humbleness, but I doubt it. So I'll have to humble him, I think. But anyway, either way, whatever happens, it's going to be fun. Don't forget, Valor BK, September 21st, North Dakota, Newtown. It will be a show.
Ben Shamrock, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
There you go, my friends. I flew all the way to Las Vegas. It's a 5-hour flight to make that interview happen. I think it was well worth it. Also, who doesn't want to go to Las Vegas? I really, really enjoyed that chat with Ken. I can't wait to see what he does in the ring. I mean, have you seen the shape he's in now? It's insane. I hope to be in like a third of that kind of shape when I'm 55. His match with Moose should be great. Looking forward to that. And that story about the chair shot from The Rock is insane. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe. Take a screenshot. Tag me in it. Tag Ken in it. I know that Ken goes in his Twitter and looks at his Twitter quite a lot. So if you tag him, there's a pretty good chance that he'll like your tweet. And that's pretty cool. Thank you to our sponsors, Green Roads. They're awesome, and they're a pharmacist-founded company that makes CBD. You can use my code, Chris15, to get 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. MyBookie, thank you to MyBookie, and you can use the promo code BLUEWIRE. They will double your first deposit at mybookie.ag. I mean, it's football time. You should be betting on these games. You can use the promo code BLUEWIRE to get any premium suit at Indochino.com for just $369. You'll also get free shipping. These suits are money. And once you get a custom suit, you will never get a non-custom suit again. An off-the-rack suit. That's what they're called. Also, Samson Technologies always has us sounding so good. SamsonTech.com is where you can check that one out. I've got a couple more interviews in the can still. A Sunny Kiss interview from All Out in Chicago. Also, a Killer Cross interview
also from Chicago. So keep an eye out for those ones. If you're subscribed, you'll know. You don't need to keep an eye out. You'll just like feel the buzz and go, oh, with the buzz from the notification. Oh, there it is. I saw this great quote from The Rock that I wanted to share with you. And The Rock, I mean, look at how successful he's been, right? It's incredible. He says, success in anything will always come down to this, focus and effort. And we control both. Man, that's powerful. Have a great day. We will see you soon. Woo!